duty as Bashir Public Secretary were to assist him in any way that I could. And to further his mood, whatever that happened to be. Of course, the normal activities of replying to Srila Prabhupada's correspondence continued. Except in very rare occasions, Srila Prabhupada would have me reply to letters on his behalf. There were a few letters which he dictated, but even these he had me sign on his behalf. He gave the instruction that now it was time to increase the letters coming from the secretary and to decrease the letters coming from he himself. And of course, in the last 1 or 2 months, the reading of mail to Prabhupada became a matter of simply trying to give him pleasure rather than to inform him of the affairs of the society. Now, this means that there was a necessity on my part to discriminate over which letters should be read to him, and even which parts of the letters were read to him. Good news was read to him. Apart from his correspondence, the secretary had to handle all of the various accounts which Srila Prabhupada was personally responsible for, bank accounts both in his personal name as well as in the name of the Mayapur Vrindavan Fund and other things of this kind. But perhaps the most important service or activity, and in fact that which predominated the most towards the end of Srila Prabhupada's appearance, was to simply give him some submissive company to be with him. He liked to have his senior disciples surrounding him, and naturally he wanted his secretary to be there and to talk with him, to massage his body, and as a regular function, in fact, it was my duty to bathe him and dress him every morning also. And he liked that I should have the morning shift of taking care of him from about 5 o'clock in the morning till about 9 o'clock in the morning, so that when he woke up, secretary would be there, and he would have me sit him up and rub or scratch his back. He would talk about what he had been thinking of the previous day. Also, he wanted the secretary to act more or less as the chief nurse of the kind, or I wouldn't say chief nurse, that's not the right word, but the in terms of Prabhupada's medicines, he would always have his secretary give the final conclusive opinion over what steps he should take or what treatments he should take. I think these were more or less the duties of the secretary.
The real reason I asked that is to establish that that you're in an intimate position with Prabhupada, because most devotees have only seen Prabhupada, I think we could say most, only seen him giving a lecture on the Vyasasam, and there are thousands of people who are interested in his books and have never seen him. So by asking you certain questions, I thought that we could get a glimpse more for people in general of what Prabhupada is really like.
Who is it?
See, this is the idea that this would be very nice if we could have if you can let people know a little more what Prabhupada was like. And to have one general question about this. Well, this is maybe too general, but what do you think that you learn about him by such contact? But this is, I have more specific questions, but the idea is, if you can help us to know Prabhupada better, those who never knew him, what he was really like. So, like, what kind of thing pleased Prabhupada the most, typical?
The thing that pleased Prabhupada the most was the devotee's willingness to serve Krishna. That pleased Prabhupada the most, the willingness of someone to engage in the service of Krishna. And he would simply look for that quality within the person. No matter how hidden that quality was, if there was even the slightest spark, he liked that person and he would encourage that person. Sometimes he could not even see the spark of Krishna consciousness within someone, and he would want to not allow the person to contact Prabhupada, to talk with Prabhupada, yet somehow Srila Prabhupada would push us aside and bring the person close and start to engage him more and more in revealing his Krishna consciousness. In fact, Prabhupada's greatness was such that even when the person practically had no Krishna consciousness, somehow he would make him favorable, at least, to our Krishna consciousness movement, if not actually engage in his service.
That's good. On the other hand, did you ever see Prabhupada angry? And if so, what kind of thing makes him angry?
Angry means the biggest thing is when, as far as disciple goes, that a disciple would disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Sometimes Prabhupada would become very angry at that person. We could understand that this was not a question of his trying to dominate over someone, but because the person was losing his spiritual standing, and therefore out of love for that person, Srila Prabhupada would become angry. Apart from that, Prabhupada would not very often become angry in the last few years at non-devotees. Basically, Prabhupada's discussions and activities in the past 2 or 3 years centered mostly on his disciples. In the early years, when he was in America and Europe, he had to preach to anyone and everyone to make disciples. But in the last few years, he concentrated on his disciples. So in the early years, we used to see Srila Prabhupada become angry at the common people who were just attending his lectures, etc. Because these common people were all potential devotees, and he had to defeat their nonsense philosophies and arguments. So he would become angry, but then again, the anger was simply anger of a beneficial nature and a compassionate nature. Just as sometimes a father or mother becomes angry at the naughty child because the child is doing something which will hurt it. That anger is actually both.
Yeah, the first talk you gave to Prabhupada's disappearance, you described Prabhupada as a beautiful devotee. What makes you elaborate on that?
Beautiful devotee means that in fact, you asked me previously, but I had an answer. How did you see Prabhupada or something?
Yeah, right.
So I have to say that if someone wanted to understand what Prabhupada was like, then they should read the Krishna book or the Nectar of Devotion and read about the intimate devotees and associates of Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada manifested one of the qualities of the intimate associates of Krishna. His humor was completely sublime. His compassion was sublime and transcendental. His courage, his competitiveness, all of the qualities which we read about in the Krishna book of Nectar Devotion belong to the associates of Krishna. We saw it manifested in Srila Prabhupada. He was the living embodiment of Krishna. He was Krishna's representative. We learned about Krishna by seeing Prabhupada. And we learned to believe in Krishna by seeing Prabhupada, because we could see that he was a person who had come from the spiritual world, the Guru amongst us. So meaning the beautiful devotee means the pure devotee is most beautiful. Prabhupada says he entitled one of his chapters, Wonderful Krishna.
Hmm.
So same thing, wonderful Prabhupada. Everything he did was wonderful. Everything. All of the different qualities which are present in someone who saw in a wonderful degree in Prabhupada.
And maybe you've seen so many things, maybe it's hard to pick something out. But could you think of a specific incident that kind of reveals at least some of his character that somebody hearing would be able to appreciate him better? Something how he dealt with something.
Well,
it's like picking one thing out of a million.
I was going to wait for the proper time to say this, but to me the incidents which stick most on my mind now are how in the last few months Srila Prabhupada constantly asked to be allowed to die peacefully. And how he would constantly succumb to the requests of his disciples not to leave us. Our relationship with Srila Prabhupada has always been one of total submissiveness and complete
okay.
Take it. Maybe he's being taped.
Yeah, what's going on?
So.
Why don't you sit on this side? You're closer to the.
I'd rather lean this way.
What can I do? Oh, I can hold it.
Is that all right for
you? Yeah, it's all right with me.
So. Our position with Srila Prabhupada was one of complete submissiveness to his orders, his instructions, his desires, just like a menial servant. It's hardly the position of the servant to in any way strongly request the master for anything. He should simply receive the instruction or order and carry it out. Yet we found in the later months, in the most recent months, that Srila Prabhupada seemed to be demanding from us a different type of attitude and emotion, at least especially from his most personal, you know, servants. A number of times he would say, can you give me a medicine? Please give me a medicine that will allow me to disappear now. Another time he said, I want most now to disappear. I want to die peacefully. Let me die peacefully. Now on one hand we could take it and give him that medicine or let him stop eating and fast until death. We could have done that. And yet it seemed that, of course, we could not do that out of our love for him. And he seemed to respond so beautifully to that, our loving requests, that he would not leave, that he please stay with us longer. I think we all had the feeling, at least a few of us who were in his personal attendance, that there wasn't really a question that he would live for a long time. But even though it was only a short time, we wanted him to stay with us. And he would bring us to the point of complete despair. He would stop all doctors, all medicines, and bring us to the point where there was no return, where he would say, now there's nothing left but for me to die. And this would bring within us such a great anxiety that after a time we would just beg him, appeal to him, please, Srila Prabhupada, we need you, please stay with us. And when the degree of our appeal reached a strong enough level, then he would say, all right, I won't leave. Give me something to drink. Call this Kaviraj. I'll stay with you. So in a sense, he was deepening our affection. And in fact, when I brought this up the last time it happened, that afterwards I felt such relief, I said to him, Srila Prabhupada, you're driving us mad the way you're dealing with us. You put us to the point of complete, total despair, and then again you give relief by agreeing to remain with us. And in this way, you're simply deepening our affection. Srila Prabhupada said very, calmly, that is simply my duty. It's not that is my duty. In fact, for one who heard him say that, it was very apparent that indeed he was actually dealing with us in such a way as to make us demonstrate more and more our eternal dependence and necessity of being with him and needing him. He was teaching us how to love himself and thereby how to love Krishna. And in fact, that's how we have to understand the last few months of Prabhupada's presence with us. He didn't do anything here physically, in the sense that he didn't do very much. He translated a little bit, but that was very little. He didn't open any new temples. He didn't give any lectures. He hardly made any public appearances, what's even outside of, by even in terms of circumambulating the temple, he hardly did that. He simply lay on his bed, and he gave every one of his disciples an opportunity to approach him, to render very intimate service to him, and to deepen their affection and love for him. And that was actually the purpose. He said to me that, I want to at least travel around the world one more time. This is just before we went to London. He said, because if I can go around the world once more, I can strengthen this movement and the disciples. I can strengthen their love for Krishna more. So because of his physical condition did not permit this, we found that he did this simply by laying in bed. And by his expert handling of our devotional creepers, he trained us and helped us to become more and more lovingly attached to him, and in that way attached to Krishna. Therefore, I feel that these last months with Prabhupada were the most important months I ever spent with him. And somehow I feel that by seeing the way he acted and the way he dealt with me personally, that that I'll be you can take this part off, this last sentence. Somehow I feel you want to. I mean, I want to say something, but I prefer not to say it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Right. Yeah, some of these questions are for non-devotees.
Right. What to do? I mean, was that all right?
Oh, yeah. But this one, is like, people want to know, what are the ingredients of greatness? Everyone's after that.
What are the ingredients of greatness?
Yeah. So Prabhupada is certainly great by any estimation. He created a world movement. So by observing him, and what particular traits did you see in him, which you say would most contribute to his greatness?
There's only one trait that contributed to his greatness. I mean, this is the actual reason. Then we can go into the mundane reasons. But the actual reason is that Prabhupada is a completely surrendered servant of God. He's completely attached and surrendered to God. As God creates the entire creation and this universe, and because he's the creator and the maintainer, he's also the controller of all activities, ultimately. And for one who completely surrenders unto the supreme controller, Krishna, Krishna enables that person to perfectly carry out the mission of the Supreme Lord. So actually, because Prabhupada chose to carry out this mission of Krishna, and because he completely submitted himself to Krishna's desires and Krishna's control, he became a perfect... he was Because, and then you should place these words in the proper tense, not that he became, he always was.
Mm.
So because he was a completely surrendered and submissive servant of God, Krishna could act perfectly through him. Therefore, there was nothing impossible for Prabhupada to do.
Mm.
Just as in the past, we have seen, quotes, miracles performed by great saintly personalities. This is because God can create and perform miracles. And by the grace of God, his pure representatives can also do this. So this is actually Prabhupada's greatness. This is the cause of Prabhupada's greatness. Now, from a material standpoint, you could give other reasons.
Talking a lot about the few of you who were with Prabhupada, who learned these lessons. So that brings up a question. He had so many disciples. How could he really relate to all of these disciples, except for a few?
Because everyone has Krishna consciousness lying dormant within the heart. Krishna is one. And although Krishna consciousness service and attachment to Krishna comes in many varieties, the basic ingredient is the same. There's the Supreme Lord and the part and parcel living entity, and they eternally have a relationship. So knowing this, Srila Prabhupada, being a perfect Krishna conscious realized preacher, could automatically relate everyone to Krishna, help them to come closer to Krishna.
But how? They weren't with him. They were in different, distant parts of the world.
That is Prabhupada's features or the qualities of the acharya, is that he knows how to preach according to time, place, and circumstance. Therefore, from the very beginning, before Prabhupada ever came to the West, he based this movement on books, on his instructions in the form of books, because he called it the big mridanga, Brihat mridanga. Mridanga is a kind of a drum, and when you beat on it, you can hear it for some distance. But the Brihat mridanga, the big mridanga, the big drum, is the printing press, because it can be heard around the world. So before coming to the West, he first of all published his three volumes of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then with that big mridanga, he began to play it, and automatically we found the results sprung up all over the world. He was able to reach to all of his disciples. He said, jokingly, a few months ago, while he was lying up in stairs in his Vrindavan quarters, there he said, quotes, "They are wondering if this old man is still living. Now they should know that I am here and I'm still beating on the mridanga, and it is going all over the world." So simply, even in his most feebly, physically weak condition, he was still able to create devotees and to maintain devotees by his instructions and to completely hold back the forces of materialistic civilization. Therefore, it's said that vani, or sound vibration, is more important than vapu, or physical presence. And in this respect, we have to understand that Srila Prabhupada has not left us, but that he is present within his instructions. And for those who are able to repeat his instructions perfectly without changing them, all of the effect which was accomplished by Srila Prabhupada can be accomplished by his sincere, faithful followers.
I saw one press report of Prabhupada's disappearance, and I got the impression somehow people think of him as a cult leader, and so he's passed away from his cult followers. So I think it's important if you could tell what is the significance of his life to people in general or to the world, aside from those who are following his guidelines. What relation does he have to our times, or is he to be regarded as the leader of his own band? Or to sum it up, how can he help this troubled world in general?
In the Bhagavad Gita, it is described that there are two classes of men, the divine and the demoniac. So this divine means there are two armies, God's army and Maya, or illusions armies. There are the forces of religion or religiosity and the forces of irreligiosity. So religion does not mean cult or faith. Religion is eternal, sanatan. And religion means dharma, sanatan dharma, eternal religion. It means the principles as enunciated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which are eternal. It means the characteristic of the living entity in his eternal relationship with Krishna. Just like dharma of sugar is that it's sweet. You cannot separate sweetness from sugar. You cannot separate heat from fire. And similarly, you cannot separate the living entity's connection with God. Every living entity has a relationship with God. In that sense, Sanatana Dharma means to revive one's eternal relationship with God or Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, the movement which he has created and the teachings which he has enunciated will guide this, will guide the human civilization for the at least the remaining civilized portion of this Kali Yuga. It's described that for the Kali Yuga still has another 432,000 years. And in these, and during these times, for the next 10,000 years, there is still going to be a revival of God consciousness. But we can understand that Srila Prabhupada has laid down the foundation of this revival. Whereas other cult leaders, faith leaders, and so-called religious leaders enunciated dharma or principles which were limited to their particular groups, the teachings of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and of Srila Prabhupada are eternal, and they relate to the eternal relationship with God. They are not subject to a time, place, or circumstance. They deal with the most basic quality within the living entity, how he becomes a devotee again of God. So we have to understand that the absence of the pure devotee is the most unfortunate thing which can happen on this planet. The newspapers have actually, due to their materialistic nature, which they readily admit to, due to the illusion which covers this whole material world now, they have not understood, nor have most people understood, the significance of Srila Prabhupada's presence on this planet. It is the most significant thing. As a pure devotee descends on this planet is the most significant. And in fact, we have to admit, who has influenced the world the greatest? It has been spiritual people. Spiritual personalities of the past have influenced more people for a longer time than any other kind of personalities. Now time will show that the presence of Srila Prabhupada on this planet was the greatest influence in this age. In the last, it is the greatest influence in this on this age, and this will be shown in time because he has laid down, he has made available to the entire world the teachings which were contained in the Vedas, and he has also made available to the entire world the holy name of Krishna, which it is stated in this age is the only means for attaining relief from material suffering, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. This is Srila Prabhupada's gift to the world, that he has opened up the treasure house of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has opened up the treasure house which has been the sole possession of India for the past 5,000 years. Now it has become for the whole world. Therefore, the whole world will eventually recognize that here is the founder, Acharya, of religious activities for this age, Srila Prabhupada.
Now a different kind of question. Right in the beginning, without too much explanation, you were talking about Prabhupada asking for something to let him disappear and that he wanted to die. So I thought of this question then, but I have it here. That
people sometimes challenge Swamis, spiritual persons, why don't they prevent themselves from getting old and dying? Well, what is your reply?
No, that it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that for those who are born, death is certain. And for those who are die, birth is certain. I think we better start again. This is not an appropriate verse. Don't quote this verse. Okay.
But you're saying that takes care of it.
Huh?
But you're saying that. We'll edit it out.
We have to understand that the pure devotee comes here, is described by his causeless mercy. And we also have to understand that a great personality like Srila Prabhupada has descended from the spiritual world into, practically speaking, hell. So, Srila Prabhupada has a loving relationship with Krishna. In fact, it is stated that Krishna says, if you want to know where I am, you will find me in the hearts of my pure devotees. And he is completely attached to his pure devotees, and his pure devotees are completely attached to him. Therefore, after some time, the pure devotee wants to again go back to Krishna. And Krishna wants his devotee back. Therefore, Prabhupada once said, recently he said, it is becoming unbearable. Becoming unbearable. We can understand that it wasn't simply the material pain that was becoming unbearable, but the Prabhupada also wanted to be with Krishna and not be burdened with this physically incapacitated body. We're a little busy. Painful. That why should he be burdened or with this physically, burdensome form?
But why even that?
Why does the form get old? That is because when one comes in this world, he has to accept a material body. Of course, because the spiritual master uses his material body solely for Krishna, we understand it to be transcendental or spiritual. Just like in the blacksmith shop, an iron rod is put in the fire and eventually it becomes red hot and acts just like fire. So although the spiritual master's body is made of these material elements, because they're being utilized in Krishna's service, they have a totally transcendental influence or effect. Still, because they are ultimately made of these material elements, they tend to become old, and eventually he has to give them up. But he's not affected by this change of the body. That should be understood.
At the end, or in these last months, did Prabhupada manifest any special spiritual symptoms that you'd like to talk about?
I think that that would be better discussed at another time.
Do you think he left untimely, too soon?
Of course, we would have liked it that Prabhupada could live for hundreds of years, and no doubt if he were able, would have done that, the whole world would have become completely Krishna conscious. But we have to ultimately say that he left, he came by his causeless mercy, and he also left by his causeless mercy. Just as his coming was perfect, so his departing was also perfect. Just as it was full of meaning when he came, so also there is ultimately must be great meaning for his timely departure. We should not think that he left untimely. He left when Krishna and when he himself wanted to leave.
Could you explain that more when you say there is meaning to his leaving at the time he did?
It means that he has to ultimately have felt, and Krishna has to have ultimately felt, that there was sufficient basis for this religion, basis for this movement to endure. Sufficient basis has been already given by Prabhupada, so that he and Krishna felt satisfied that this movement would endure.
Did Srila Prabhupada give you any special instructions at the end?
his instructions are given in his books.
No, they.
Well,
sometimes think of a man at the person at the end of his life, especially a great person or a father, giving some special revelation.
No, I didn't personally ask Srila Prabhupada if he had anything in particular which he wanted me personally to fulfill. I feel
for the world any special message. It was a calming kind of question, but I know they want to know.
His instruction he did give for all of his disciples was that now this movement has attained a prestigious, respected position amongst the scholarly class of people all over the world, and our institutions throughout the world are all substantial, and we're well represented everywhere. Now, please maintain this. Do not let it deteriorate or decrease. Prabhupada emphasized that we may not even increase, although if we can increase, it is to our credit. But even if we simply maintain what has already been established, that will suffice to alleviate the suffering in this world for many thousands of years to come. So I take this as very significant. And in fact, it is the same instruction which he wrote to me in 1970 when I was preaching in France, that we who are the senior devotees must take care to see that at least what has already been established should be maintained nicely. So I feel that all of us as Prabhupada's disciples, their first responsibility is to make sure that whatever Prabhupada gave to us, because we have to understand that whatever we have is the gift of Srila Prabhupada, whatever he gave to us now is cherished and maintained. Now, if beyond that we can further do more, that's very good, very well. We would like that, and he would like that. But at least we should not in any way allow what he has given us thus far to be in any way diminished. First of all, care for your father's property. Then think of accumulating further property. But first of all, care for it. Otherwise, it is a great dishonor to his son if by his neglect he squanders his father's property. That is the greatest disgrace for the son.
By property, you mean his actual buildings?
Property, no. Property doesn't mean his actual buildings. It means this, the buildings, the writings, the teachings. It means everything which he's done thus far and everything which has been done by his disciples in his presence. That should not be in any way neglected. Now, this is the, I think, the most important duty of his disciples, is that and loving concern they should see that their fathers, what they have inherited from their father, is maintained. And others will respect them for that. Otherwise, for a son who neglects his father's property, he has no position.
What do you think his feelings were that this would happen, or that it would just go the opposite way? You think?
No, he repeatedly said to me that he feels that there is great hope that this Krishna consciousness movement will endure. He said, I am feeling that it is in good hands.
And now that he's gone, or has disappeared his physical presence, what do you think? What is your feeling about his future? Because one of the disciples, he quoted that when the spiritual master appears, he brings order to chaos, and when he leaves, the chaos returns.
So therefore, that depends upon our strength in keeping Prabhupada with us, not by his physical presence, but by his sound vibration, his instructions. In other words, just as we were able to keep Prabhupada physically with us, at least request him to stay physically with us, and he did for many months, he'll have no objection to staying eternally with us if we request his constant instruction. So as long as all of his disciples constantly look to his instructions and associate with him through his instructions, there will not be any chaos. But when they look away from his instructions, or when they disregard them, or neglect them, or fail to follow them, then there'll be chaos. But Prabhupada is present as much, more so, in his instructions than physically. Prabhupada says that vani is more important than vapu. So if by the acharya's appearance he brings order from chaos, then who is to say that Prabhupada is not still present? He reasons ill. Then you quote that verse. Therefore, we do not feel that Prabhupada has died. Otherwise, if we felt that way, it would be unbearable to live. We regret the loss of his physical presence, but we are consoled by his eternal presence in the form of his instructions. And therefore, we are very hopeful that the order which he has created will continue to exist for many thousands of years to come.
Sodanandana Gajajana Ranjana Yamunatira Gonachami Yamunatira Gonachami Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Gopi Jana Ballabha Giribadadhari Yasoda Nandana Vajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vonachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Radha Madhava Gopi Jana Balava Giribadan Hari Yasoda Nandana Vajajana Ranjana Sora Nandana Bajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Bonachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balaba Giribada Hari Yasoda Nandana Vajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Bonachari
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivad Jagacharya Stotra Sita Sri Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Premsikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopina Shyamakunda Radha Kundagiri Govardhan Ki Vrindavinda Ki Maipur Dham Ki Jagannath Swami Ki Jamuna Mai Ki Ganga Mai Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Samaveda Bhaktivinda Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hanta Asmin Janmani Bhavan Ma Mam Drashtum Iha Arhati Avipakva Kashayanam Durdarsha Aham Kuyoginam Hantasmin Janmani Bhavan Ma Mam Drashtum Iharhati Avipakva Kashayanam Durdarsho Ham Kuyoginam. Antasmin Janmani Bhavan.